Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your role with the show, Craig.
I'm Craig Wallace, and I'm directing Fences for the National Players, Tour 73.
That's really cool. You're directing it. And so it's the National Players, and they're doing Fences. It's going to be at Olney Theater Center from September 1st through the 4th. Before we get into this iconic play itself, August Wilson, the whole nine yards, tell me about, you know, what National Players is. Is this, because it's not, you know, it's not just the Olney Theaters, you know, their usual production team, right? What is National Players? Is it like a visiting group?
It's the country's oldest touring organization. It was founded by Father Harkey from Catholic University. And this is their 73rd year. I actually did it in, I did Tour 42. And this is Tour 73. Wow. They're taking two plays on the road, Much Ado About Nothing and Fences. This is their first all African-American cast that they're sending out on the road. So it's very exciting.
Cool. And when you say on the road, you know, where will all you be hitting after Olney?
Well, you know, they go all over. If you go to Olney's website, there's a National Players section where they tell you all of the places that they'll travel. Cool. I think this year they're doing sort of a truncated tour this year because of COVID and several other things. But I think so usually the tour goes from August to like May or June, but they're really only going to December this year. Right. And I think the farthest they'll go is Alabama.
Cool. But Olney's the first, is this the first stop?
Yes. Okay. Yes, they actually opened Much Ado About Nothing earlier this summer at Olney in their outdoor space. And then they put that aside so we could direct Fences, so we could work on Fences. And now they're going to show Fences at Olney before they take both shows on the road.
Great, great. And we do, you know, we got to tell everyone, it's only 4 days, September 1st through the 4th. So you better head over to OlneyTheater.org and get your tickets now. All right. So you've been grappling with this thing, directing it. Let's remind everyone what it's about. If they missed the August Wilson play or the what I thought was a fantastic movie with Denzel and Viola Davis a couple years ago, to remind them the basic premise. Actually, you know what? Before the actual premise, tell me where this falls in August Wilson's Pittsburgh cycle. Let's start there.
This is the 50s. Mm-hmm. So, you know, every play represents a decade, and this decade would be the 50s. It's set in 1957. And, you know, it's the story of the Maxson family. It's interesting. I've done this role, and 2 years ago, I would have said it's the story of Troy Maxson. But now that I've actually worked on it from a directing point of view, it's actually the story of the Maxson family. Right. This African-American family trying to find their place in the American dream.
Absolutely. And it's all set in 1950s Pittsburgh. Mostly a lot of it, you know, there's some stuff you could say in the house, but a lot of it's in that backyard with that iconic baseball on a string that he's out there with the bat just hacking it. Talk about how his, you know, how Troy Maxson, the main character, how should we say lost dreams of being a pro baseball player. You know, he was in the Negro Leagues before, you know, Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier in 1947. But talk about how, you know, the fact that he played prior to that, how it just almost felt like society and the deck was stacked against him. And he never fully got to go pursue his dream of a pro baseball player.
Yeah. You know, I think his he learned how to play baseball in prison. He found himself in prison because he had a horrible childhood. His mother left him and his father was abusive, and he found himself alone and on the streets and having to steal to survive. Once he was in prison, he learned how to play baseball, and he was actually very, very good, exceptionally good. Except that by the time that he would have been able to join the Negro Leagues, he was too old. Mm-hmm. So he missed his opportunity. And I think that he struggles with the notion of why me? Why? I mean, I'm a talent. Mm-hmm. Why don't I get a chance to be a part of the American dream? The other thing that's so interesting about him is, you know, he can't read. He says he can't read. And yet throughout the play, his logic is impeccable.
Right.
He's also a very honest man, honest to a fault. So, you know, he has all of these things that, you know, should welcome him into the American fabric, except that he can't seem to find his way in and he struggles with it and it jeopardizes his family.
Yeah.
But then there's Rose. Then there's Rose. Rose, who ultimately is the glue of the Maxson family. She, her resilience, her patience, her dedication to the Maxson unit, ultimately, she's the glue.
Oh, she definitely is. She's the backbone of that family, the glue that holds them together. And through some really tough stuff, we're not going to spoil any plot points, but so the revelations that come out in the show, you know, in the marriage and the family, I mean, Rose is one of the toughest characters I think of any play. And, you know, she just stands her ground and, you know, I mean, Viola spit and snot flying and standing in the same spot for you. I mean, it's powerful stuff. Talk about real quick. You were we're talking about sort of, you know, generational trauma and stresses, you know, that you said Troy was raised and had a hard upbringing. And now he's this sort of, you know, alcoholic, if you want to, father. Talk about how his own failed dreams or stunted dreams of being a pro baseball player is now, he now projects that down on his son, Corey, who wants to play football. He's got some talent to play football, but he's basically, you know, how does his own failures, you know, in his baseball career, how does that sort of get projected down on his son's football dreams?
Well, he's afraid for Corey. He's afraid that Corey will befall the same fate that he did. It's very interesting. The classic, I don't have to like you speech.
Yeah.
I was talking to my Troy and I said to him, this is the only way you can tell Corey that you love him.
Right.
It's through this, I don't have to like you speech. And so, you know, he really does fear for him. And the only thing he knows is, the only thing Troy knows is hard work. And he's trying to instill that into his son because the dream is crushing him. Mm-hmm. Not only has crushed him, is still crushing him. And he doesn't want his son to be crushed by a dream.
Yeah, that's a good way to point it. And isn't it funny? As a director, it must be kind of cool to search for those moments where like, okay, this is the "Hi, I love you, son" scene, but it's not. It's like shrouded in all. It's the only way you can communicate that. But it's got to be cool as a director to sort of grapple with the text and pull that out. So you mentioned you were talking to your Troy. Who are the character? Who are the actors playing, you know, Troy and Rose and the rest?
Oh, it's a bunch of wonderful, young, energetic, exciting actors. Many of them I taught at Howard University. It's a cast of 8.
You taught them as students and now they're acting with you?
Yes, yes. You can go to the website and get all of their information, or you can go to their Instagram page and get all of their intros are better than anything that I can say about them. But please go to Instagram, National Players, and check out who these young people are. And The Much Ado is wonderful, directed by Jason King Jones. I spent the whole summer with them. I was vocal coach on Much Ado, and I got to direct Fences. And they're a good group. I'm very excited for them.
That's awesome. And what do we see on stage visually? I mentioned it earlier, but is it mostly that backyard with the baseball and the string and that sort of thing?
So funny you should mention that. You will see the iconic backyard.
Yeah.
You will not, however, see the baseball on the string.
Now, why is that?
It's just having to transport a tree.
Yeah.
Was problematic. You'll also notice, that we've worked around actually sawing and building a fence.
Ah, interesting.
Well, the way it works is that just as we're going to do some sawing, some action happens. So the sawing actually never gets done. Once again, just because of touring limitations.
Sure, sure. You have to find creative ways around it. All right, cool. And then I don't want to spoil the end of the show, but I always really like who's the character? Gabriel. Talk about how Gabriel's horn, his trumpet, factors in. If there's a way you can do it without spoiling it, but it lends a little bit of a, sort of a spiritual ending, but I guess it depends. And I guess different plays or different movies can tackle the ending slightly differently, but how's it tackled here?
If you know August's stuff, there's always some magic
in
his stuff. And, you know, this play is as realistic as they get in terms of raw emotion and you know, just the life of the characters. But at the end of the play, Troy goes home. Mm-hmm. And everyone acknowledges that Troy is actually home.
That is a brilliant way to put it, my friend. I guess just extrapolated out big picture now on August Wilson's legacy. To tackle a different decade of life as an African American, you know, in America, in Pittsburgh specifically, throughout, you know, for a whole century in totality, that it covers that such a wide span, swath of time. I mean, just talk about his legacy. I mean, he's almost like our American Shakespeare in a certain way.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. I mean, it's about the African American experience, along with our reaching back to our roots, back to Africa, but how that translates once we got here, right. You know, because there wasn't a lot here for us, but family, and I think family, whether it's your biological family or your neighbors down the street, you know, the depiction of how we were able to survive as Black Americans throughout the decades is classic. It's just classic. And his poetry is just that. So, you know, there are other plays about Black life in America, but he does it with such poetry and finesse that it is indeed Shakespearean in its scope.
That's awesome. Where do you personally, Craig Wallace, where do you personally rank or place Fences among your favorite August Wilson stuff? It's always been towards, it's hard to say a favorite, but it's been towards the top of one. It's one of my favorites of his, but you know, how does it always, you know, rank to you? Or is that even a fair question?
Well, you know, I've done five, I believe, out of the 10.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do Radio Golf this spring at Roundhouse.
Oh, cool.
So whenever I get in one of the plays, that's my favorite play.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. And it's kind of antithetical to even rank art, but I guess I should say is how does this one stand out from the others? Well, I know you're in it each time. What do you specifically love about this one that is distinct about this one?
It's comparisons to Death of a Salesman.
Mm.
You know, I've also had the fortune to play Willie Loman.
Mm-hmm.
So
we've interviewed you about that.
indeed. So as I look at those characters back to back, it's just fun to note that exploration.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Craig. It's a must-see show, Fences, in whatever form. But it's really cool what you're doing with the National Players. So everyone come see it September 1st through the 4th at Alney Theater before it hits the road. Director Craig Wallace, hey, thanks so much for joining us. And as we run, do you want to tease anything you're doing as an actor coming up? What else do you got coming up?
Oh, well, always Christmas Carol. We're coming back with the full show. So we're very looking forward to doing that. I'll also be in King Lear next year at Shakespeare Theater Company.
Awesome.
And I'll end the season before the summer with Radio Golf at Roundhouse Theater. So I'm very excited about the upcoming season. And let's keep our fingers crossed that we can stay healthy and safe and audiences can stay healthy and safe.
Awesome. Yeah. When I said what else we have coming up, it didn't even dawn on me that, oh my gosh, we are almost to Christmas Carol time. The year's flying by. But yes, we'll follow up and as always, and you know, we'll talk to you then too. But yeah, in the meantime, be well, be safe, and thanks for talking about Fences here.
You bet. Take care.
All right. See you, man.